So Heavenly Father, we come, we draw near to the throne of grace, to our great high priest, Lord Jesus. We bring you all of our burdens, our sickness, our sadness, our weariness. We trust you. We believe in you. And we thank you for grace that saves and sustains us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Happy New Year. If you have your Bibles, find your place with me in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter number 8. And again, I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us here today, may the Lord bless you. Pastor Tim mentioned to you earlier, we'd love to get acquainted with you and help you with any information we can about our church. And we're excited to have you here if you're a guest. Also, a couple of things I want to mention to you just before we begin, while you're finding your place in Matthew. There's a large card. We wanted to make this as big as we could, so you'd have to do something with it. So here it is. And this is what I'll be talking about as we come back for the new year. As we come back for the new year, I want to talk to our families about some things that I think will be important for us to consider. I call it Family Secrets, Family Matters. I've gone ahead and let you know, you can pick which week you want to come, but this is what I'll be talking about, Lord willing, as we go through the time. And then we have Palm Sunday with the choir again celebrating. We'll celebrate Easter together, but I hope you'll keep this with you. It'll give you an idea of what I'll be talking about three different families who trusted God, who walked by faith, and yet they had family secrets. Also, I'd like for you to note in your calendar, February 16, 17, 18. I know you have things that you plan and schedule, but we'll be having a weekend together that we're going to call Family Life Weekend here at First Baptist Church, February 16, Friday night, 17 and 18. This isn't just for the children. This isn't just for the teenagers. This is for the whole family. Your family, your biological family, that your family unit. If it's if you're a widow, widower, if you're single, or if you have children, whatever it may be, we invite you to come. We'll have some special time together, and we'll celebrate together. So stay tuned for that. Family Secrets, Family Matters, and I wanted to let you know about that because we begin next week. Now we come to what we'll be looking at today. We've been talking now for some weeks about what it means for the Lord Jesus to come to this world the first time and fulfill the prophecy promises that are made about His first coming. There are prophecy promises about Jesus' second coming, and we'll talk about those, Lord willing, in the new year as we have opportunity. But now we're thinking about God's promises, His predictive promises that have come true in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read together Matthew chapter number 8, and keep your Bible open there because I'll be referring to chapter 8 and then also to chapter number 12. Matthew chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 14. Matthew 8, 14, when Jesus came into Peter's home, He saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 53, verse number 4. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Heavenly Father, and I bless the reading of your word, and may the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our focus today is this very important truth as we finish up Christmas, and now we live in these times of grace. We live in these times of grace between the first coming of the Lord Jesus, where now grace is extended to all who will believe. And we believe by faith so that we might be saved by grace. Waiting for the Lord Jesus to come. Here is something I want to talk to you about. I just want to speak to you as your pastor today as we end the year. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you. Here's the truth that we learn from Matthew 8 and 12 about the Lord Jesus fulfilling Scripture. Jesus Christ is, this very moment, is the tender healer of all our diseases and infirmities, that it might be fulfilled. You see, it is God's purpose through Jesus Christ for there to be healing that comes to us so that we might serve God and glorify God. He heals us of our literal diseases, physically, emotionally, so that we might glorify God and honor Him. I have three observations that I want us to look at today. The first comes from Matthew chapter 8, and the other two will come from Matthew chapter 12. Number one, Jesus Christ Himself, notice I'm saying now Himself. Jesus Christ Himself, this is what we learn from Isaiah 53. He's our substitute. He takes away our diseases and infirmities that it might be fulfilled. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, the ministry of the Lord Jesus as healer. Secondly, Jesus Christ tenderly cares for the broken and depressed that it might be fulfilled. So I'd like for you to take your Bible now and read with me beginning in chapter 12. Verse number 15, Jesus aware of this, this is Matthew 12, 15. Jesus now is aware that the Pharisees are trying to kill Him. Now that's what's happening in the debate that He's been having with the Pharisees up above about Sabbath day and His authority to heal on the Sabbath. Well, we read on verse 15, but Jesus aware of what the Pharisees attempt to kill Him. Now notice, He knows they're trying to kill Him. What does the Lord Jesus do when He knows a powerful group of religious leaders are trying to kill Him? Well, here's the wonder and glory of our Lord Jesus. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Look, many followed Him. Oh, how precious are these words now for all of us today. Not just for the day when it happened, but for today. And He healed them all. He healed them all and warned them not to tell who He was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 42, verses 1 and 2. Behold my servant whom I chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Please notice verse 19 and 20, and 21. This is really my focus from this passage in Isaiah. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Here it is now. Here's the tenderness of our Lord Jesus. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory, and in his name, the Gentiles will hope. So we see Jesus Christ tenderly cares for the broken and the depressed, even to this very moment. And we finally see here, and we'll talk for a moment about this fact at verse number 21 of Matthew 12. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world that it might be fulfilled. When you say the name Jesus, when you say the name Jesus, you are saying hope. You are saying hope. Oh, my friends, I don't need to say it to you except just to remind you of how sad the world is and how dark the world is. We read earlier in Matthew, as we've looked at these things, about how He's fulfilled, the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of predicted promises. He is, as the choir sung for us today and called us to sing, Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord Jesus now has come to be with us. and the Holy Spirit of God has been sent so that we might have encouragement, so He might fill us and change us. The presence of God, the presence of God is with us. He abides in us and He remains with us. Oh, to live in the joy of the presence of God in a world where people feel alone, abandoned, neglected. There is one who will never leave them. There is the Lord Jesus if they will call to Him. We also saw last week on Christmas Eve, back earlier in Matthew's gospel, that when Jesus set up His ministry in Capernaum, it was to fulfill the scriptures of Isaiah, that in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, that people who, listen, the people sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the shadow of death, the light dawned on them. You see, this is a description of the coming of the Lord Jesus as the light of God in the world of darkness. So what do we do today, my friends, in this church? What do we do in 2024? We do the same thing we were doing in 2023. We point people to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We point people in despair, in sadness, in sorrow, people who are physically sick and ill. We point them, when those with emotional and mental struggles, those who feel beaten down and completely abandoned, we point them to Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We point them to the one who tenderly cares for them. If they will come to Him, He will come to them and minister to them. Let's think about this matter of the Lord Jesus taking away our diseases and infirmities. Notice here, He Himself, I'm back in Matthew 8. When the Lord Jesus goes now, He has a busy day in Matthew chapter 8. It begins, He comes off the mountain having taught the disciples how to live, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I would encourage all of you who are believers here, maybe over this next week, why don't you read back through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's what the Lord said a disciple's supposed to look like. If you say you're a follower of Jesus, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are a description of how you're to live. But a busy day, a busy day. The Lord's been teaching. Now He comes off the mountain at the beginning of Matthew 8. And He comes down, and then there's an unbelievable scene that takes place. A leper. Now let's just pause. We've been through a lot in our country, around the world, in these COVID days with infectious disease. But oh, this is a terrible disease. This is a disease that eats literally the skin away. It completely deforms and destroys. It's a flesh-eating disease. And this one who has this flesh-eating disease, verse 2, He comes, what a powerful picture. Matthew saw it as an eyewitness. He bows down. This man, who knows how disfigured he was? Who knows the condition of his face and his hands? No matter what he looked like, he was a man who was infectious with leprosy. And he bows down before the Lord and he says, Lord, you see, he comes to Jesus. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He has faith. He comes to the Lord Jesus. And look at the sweetness of the Lord Jesus as healer. Jesus stretched out His hand. Wait a minute. He's about to do something shocking. The Lord Jesus stretches out His hand and touches this leprous man. And what does the Lord say in His wonderful healing way and care? I am willing to heal you. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then he's going on his way, and a Roman centurion comes to Jesus. Another man who comes to Jesus. Notice, first one comes to Jesus. Now this Roman comes begging that the Lord Jesus would come and heal his servant who is lying paralyzed at home. Verse 6, and he's fearfully tormented. Not only was he paralyzed, but in his mind he was terrorized. He was having all kinds of emotional discouragement and despair. And look at the sweetness of the Lord Jesus. This is our Lord Jesus. He says, I will come and heal him. The Lord Jesus volunteers to stop what he's doing and go with this Roman centurion to his house. The Roman centurion says, I'm not worthy for you to come. Just say the word in verse number 8, and my servant will be healed. The Lord Jesus was amazed by his words, but what does he do? He grants his request, verse 13, go and it shall be done for you as you have believed. And then we find the Lord Jesus coming into Peter's house and his unnamed mother-in-law. She's sick in the other room. What a day to be sick with a fever. The day Jesus comes to your house. Here she is, and she's in the bed. She can't even get up. The fever has driven her into the bed. And what does the Lord do? He comes to this fevered woman in the bed, unable to come to him. She comes and touches her hand, and the fever leaves. And what does she do? She gets up and she waits on him. And then all the evening while he's there at that house, can you see it in your mind? Can you see it in your imagination? They brought to him many who were demon possessed, terrorized and tortured in their minds, possessed in their bodies by evil spirits. And he cast out these demons with a word, and look at these sweet words, and he healed all who were ill. In chapter 12, what did we read? He healed them all. You see, Jesus Christ is the healer of diseases, literal diseases. He is the healer of sickness and weakness and infirmities. Whatever condition you may have in your life, you don't know what another year may bring to your life. You may be in good health today, everything fine in your life, whether you're young or old, no matter your age, but you may be struck down by a disease or by an infirmity or by a sickness. You see, the Lord Jesus is the lifter of sicknesses. This is the promise of Isaiah 53. Consider when the Lord Jesus heals, when he literally physically heals and gives us back our minds and restores us from our weaknesses and our sicknesses, it's simply what happens with this mother-in-law of Peter. She gets up and waits on Jesus. When the Lord heals you, when he carries your weaknesses, when he lifts those things up as your substitute, yes, on the cross. But I also want to make it clear that the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is just as real today as it's ever been. We must call on him, speak to him, consider the Lord Jesus Christ, our great substitute, who is also the one who takes away our diseases. What did the choir sing? Come as you are. Come with your circumstances, your situation, your difficulties. You see, the darkness of people all around us is real. 2 years ago, I testify to the church today, I give glory to God. 2 years ago, I stood before you and said, well, the doctors tell me that I have colon cancer stage 3. That means that the cancer has moved beyond my colon into other parts of my body. So 2 years ago, we begin the journey. I wasn't prepared for that. You won't be prepared when you get the news. So here we are 2 years later. I'm happy and delighted to say, to the glory of God, I have no cancer in my body. I am cancer free. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, thank you. I didn't do it for that, but I'm giving glory to the Lord. I have no cancer in my body. You see, you must ask the Lord to heal you. You must still speak to the Lord about your diseases. It's one thing for me to go to the physician, and I try to, and I do. But it's another thing to come to the great physician and speak to the Lord and consider what he has to say to you. So I stand before you as a testimony of the healing power physically of the Lord Jesus Christ in these days in which we live. Yes, I'm thankful for everything that medical science can do to enhance our health and to help us. And we should use all of those tools. But the Lord Jesus heals. He heals physically. And I say to some of you who are tormented in discouragement and weariness and depression, talk to somebody about how you feel. Talk to those who can be an encouragement to you, but also talk to the Lord about how you feel. Bring your condition before the Lord, just like this leper did. I may be saying something to some of you that you're going to need to hear in 2024. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ takes away our diseases and our infirmities so that we, when we are healed, might glorify God every single day He gives us until we're dead. Secondly, Jesus Christ tenderly cares for the broken and the depressed. Brokenness and depression. Pat and I have often sat over the last 2 years at the oncologist, at the cancer doctor. Sitting in the cancer doctor, sitting in the oncologist's office, you look around and you see the sickness and the weakness and the despair of so many who come to that place, many of them involved in chemotherapy and other conditions. They can barely walk. They're not able to do the things they used to do. It's a place where the dying go to meet with their doctor. Despair, depression, discouragement, those things ought to burden the hearts of God's people, because the Lord Jesus still cares today for those in their brokenness and their weariness and their discouragement. Chapter 12, verse 20, a bruised reed He will not break off. You see, this is the reed that's out in the wind. The wind is blowing on this reed, and it's just about bent over from the storms. The reed, just like a reed, many of us in this room, we're bruised. Sin bruises us. Life bruises us. But Jesus Christ, please see it here. It's a promise for all of us. A bruised reed, the Lord Jesus will not break off. He tenderly cares for the bruised. He said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. He said to the man who was rejected by his family simply because the Lord had healed him. When the Lord found him, He said, do you know who the Lord is? He said, I wish I knew who He was so I could worship Him. He said, you're seeing Him and He is standing talking to you. He said to the disciples, over and over, when they had fear in their lives, do not be afraid, I have overcome the world. He speaks to us in our bruised and battered condition. Look, life beats us down. Life beats us down. Life bruises us, and much of the bruising and much of the battering comes because we make poor choices. And the choices we make stay with us for a lifetime. Sometimes the Lord forgives us, but we carry with us the consequences of our sin all the rest of our days. We live in a world of people battered and bruised by their choices to live in sin. Now it's not a picture of people sitting in darkness. Now it's a picture of a battered reed, people living all alone, people living in isolation, people living lives of regret and pain and misery. But the Lord Jesus, how sweet it is. We see it all through the Scriptures. We see the Lord Jesus as He came in His ministry, demonstrating that He never came to break a bruised reed. He came that He might give hope to those who were like a smoldering wick of a candle. You know, we've had candles this time of the year. We've had candles, you blow it out, the wind blows across it, the breeze comes, your breath, you blow out the flame, and there's a little bit of red, there's still a little bit of fire left on the wick, and it's smoking, but it's there. But the Lord never puts out the final fire. That may be a description of you in your mind today. Struggling with discouragement. You wake up with it, you go to sleep with it. You cannot understand why you have it. You can't shake it. the Lord Jesus came to a man who was in such despair about his son who had a destructive demon. He had begged the disciples to cast him out, but he couldn't. But the Lord said to him, "All things are possible to him who believes." Was that just something the Lord said to people in gospel days when he was on the earth? Is that something the Lord said? The Lord said, "All things are possible to him who believes." This morning, if you're in that state of condition of a smoldering wick, life is just about out. You don't know if you can go another year. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to fix what seems unfixable. The Lord Jesus is the one who says, "All things are possible to him who believes." And the man said what we say, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Is that you today in your situation? And what about our friend Peter, who was in absolute defeat and despair after his cowardice behavior as the Lord Jesus, he says, "I'll die with you." And he was the first to run away from Jesus. What does it say? The Lord Jesus, after the resurrection, 1 Corinthians tells us, he went and met with Peter, a man embarrassed, shamed, and in depression. I point you today to Jesus Christ. I point you today in 2023 to the one who is healer, who is the one who cares tenderly for us all. That's why we go to the throne of grace, to our great high priest who cares for us. I want you to see, just as we're finishing in John chapter 20, a little story that I think will be wonderful and sweet for us all to think about together. You can turn there in your Bible, or you can just let me read it for you. It's just a few verses in John chapter 20. You see, the Lord Jesus is the one who, he's the one who responds to those who ask him for mercy and for grace. He always responds. So this is in John chapter number 20. No, it's the wrong place. I'm sorry. Let me just read it to you. It's in John, earlier in John. Two people were blind and cried out. Listen, here's the story. "Lord, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us." They kept crying out, "Lord, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us." Over and over, the crowd said, "Quit crying out." Finally, as they continued to cry out, "Lord, have mercy on us," Jesus stopped. And he called these two blind men to him. And he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" I want you to pause right here. So when you go to prayer and you're all by yourself and you carry a deep and heavy burden with you and you're wounded and you're troubled and you're bruised and the fire is just about to go out and you go before the Lord, nobody else is there, you start praying. And the Lord says to you, he calls you by name, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Can you imagine these two blind men, the shock when they were asked by the Lord, "What do you want me to do for you?" And here's what they said, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. We want to see. We want to have sight." And I read these precious words to you. Moved with compassion. This is the emotion of the Lord Jesus. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Friends, look to Jesus who is full of grace. He gives grace for grace, John says. Grace and truth have come in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to heal. Grace to care for you and help you in your most desperate situation. What is the grace of God? The Bible describes it as rich grace. Rich grace. The Bible describes the grace of God as abundant grace. The Bible describes the grace of God as lavish grace, poured out abundant, rich, abundant, lavish, continuous grace. I go to the Lord for grace every day. I don't know what I'll face in 2023, but I go to the Lord for grace to help in time of need. It is limitless grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the giver of grace. We all receive it, and you know what? The Lord hears the cry of mercy. Have mercy on me. Look, you may come in the new year to a time where the only thing you can pray is, Jesus, have mercy on me. But I promise you this, just like the old gospel song, I've experienced it over and over in my life. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I hope you can say the same thing. You see, that's what brings hope. That's the final thing we see here as I quickly close. Notice a battered reed in chapter 12 of Matthew, he will not break off. A smoldering wick he will not put out. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. When you cry to Jesus, you're coming to the one who gives hope. I want to say this to you because some of you are walking in a hard place. You're living in what you think is a hopeless situation. You're living in a condition you can't see how God could ever change it. Look, remember how God has worked in your life in the past? See His gracious blessing and care and healing in your past. He is with you today. The same Lord is with you. Today our hope is in the Lord. The psalmist said, my hope is in you. But the reality is that the Lord Jesus is now our hope. That's why Paul said, Christ in you, Christ in you. Now you're saved. Now the Lord is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, Paul said it this way, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Oh, when I go through a circumstance, when I face something hard, when I hear news I don't want to hear, when something comes to me from about my family or about my own life or my job or from some friend or some situation, I want to look to Jesus who tenderly cares and answers my needs. Look, the Lord Jesus, it's the old preacher, the old Puritan said it, the only heart in heaven that turns toward us is the heart of the Lord Jesus, our great high priest. So what do we remember today? Well, I conclude December and this year by reminding you that all of the Word of God points to Jesus Christ, all of it. You must find the Lord Jesus in Genesis. You must find the Lord Jesus in the Chronicles. You must find the Lord Jesus in the Psalms and the Proverbs. You must find the Lord Jesus in the prophets. You must find the Lord Jesus. All of Scripture speaks of Him, and all of Scripture points either toward His first coming, hallelujah, He has come now as our tender, wonderful Savior, full of grace and truth and mercy, but He is also coming again. All of Scripture is fulfilled in Jesus. And so I say to you today, don't be proud. The leper had to come in front of the crowd with the embarrassment of his disfigured condition and ask the Lord to heal him. The Lord Jesus found Peter's mother-in-law in a condition in the bed. The Lord knows where you are. He understands what you're going through, but come to Him in your weariness. Give him the chance. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Listen, tell the Lord Jesus what you want Him to do. I'm talking to you as a person who's done that. Tell the Lord Jesus what you want Him to do. Ask God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus to grant you your request. If it is in His will to do it, He will do it. If it's not in His will to do it, He'll give you the endurance and the ability to move on. Ask. You don't have it if you don't ask for it. This is an important thing I say to all of you, my brothers and sisters, as your pastor. Speak to the Lord about what you need. He is your Lord, your Savior, your Shepherd. He will not break off. He will not break off a bruised, broken reed, and he will never quench a smoldering flame. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said, I love to quote you hymns. They mean much to me. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place. Here's my favorite line. And he has made me glad. When you come to Jesus, listen, you'll never be sad. You'll be glad. To the praise of the glory of his grace, the Lord Jesus is near to the door. Oh, how the church prays. 2024 could be it. Tomorrow could be the day. Come, Lord Jesus.